Moms are hardcore.
Hello, welcome to Moms of Flavortown. I am Rachel.
I am Debbie. And
I just want to say, oh, sorry. on the train home today, I just had this thought going on in my head, and that was that the human body is not made to work full time, be a mom, and also podcast. It's too much.
No, for real, but it's true. That, and also, like, you know, witnessing the destruction of the world as well.
I know. I mean, we try to stay apolitical on this podcast, which is not true at all.
We're extremely political.
But I just feel like it's hard to talk about, and I'm just going to say it, it's hard to talk about Gaza on something, you know, is going to be public facing because you don't want people to send you death threats or whatever. At this point, it's just really too depressing not to. So it's very sad, and we hope everyone's okay, and there's no joke or anything. Not everyone's going to be okay. But yes, it is hard to witness the fall of stuff, including capitalism, etc. I'm happy to see the fall of capitalism, but I just feel like everything is real dark right now.
Joe Biden's gonna be on Seth Meyers today though, so
oh my god, I did not know that. And you know what else is funny is that my favorite Joey Grazia Day, the current Bachelor, he did like social media with Kamala at the White House with her and what's her husband's name? Doug. Whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like the Bachelor's at the White House, Joe's going on Seth Meyers. They're really trying to, you know, yassify the White House or whatever.
God.
I know. Gross. But we do what we can.
I think about how much, like, I adore The Onion. And The Onion has written some incredible headlines, but can we talk about how much The Onion had done for Joe Biden in making him look cooler than he actually is? Like, do you remember all those Uncle Joe?
Yeah, like, they were supposed to make him look kind of like an idiot, like a lovable idiot, right?
Right.
And, like, that was, I feel like the vice president, everyone always kind of makes fun of them because it's like they're kind of ineffectual. They don't really do anything. I mean, they probably do more than we think or whatever, but it's like, you know, it's like, it's kind of like being like the silly little guy.
Yeah. I feel like Dan Quayle was like the first, well, in our lifetime, I feel like Dan Quayle was like the official start of the goofy little vice president thing.
Oh yeah, I mean, there. Do you know the comedy musician Tom Lehrer from like the 60s? Yeah, he has a song about a vice president of that time, which like know every word to the song. Yeah, he's like it's called "Whatever Became of You, Hubert," and it's like talking about how he was like a hotshot senator, and now no one ever sees him anymore because he's vice president.
That's right.
So I guess that's always been, but you know, and like, I have to say that I feel a little bit, and again, this is like, I feel bad because I'm like, I don't want to get too political, but this is just like politics. But I definitely, like, when I definitely was not as radicalized during the Obama years. And now I look back at Obama and I'm like, ugh.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I think the problem with Obama is that we were really like hoodwinked in a way because he ran on the platform completely of like change and progressive issues. And like, he really was like an actual community organizer in Chicago. So like,
yes,
you know, he just bought into the system and completely, you know, gave up and then murdered a bunch of Yemeni people, which is horrible.
Yeah, and I feel like he kind of like weaponized like our own white supremacy against us a little bit because he's like, what do you mean, I'm just a cool guy, I'm the first black president, like, you know, like, you know, I feel like that it was a little bit like, oh yeah, like he's cool, you know. And then it was Sorry. Anyway, now we're getting real. But like when we watch Waffles Emoji and it's like, oh no, Michelle Obama, the war criminal.
Right. Like, I wish, like, Waffles Emoji is so good. I wish she had nothing to do with it, but unfortunately, that's just what it is.
Yeah. And also, there's this episode of Chopped that took place during when Michelle Obama was doing her, like, make kids healthy
thing. Yeah, I remember this.
Which was, like, super problematic looking back on it. At the time, mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, yeah, of course. And now you're like, oh, she was really fat-shaming little kids that were on, like, that needed school lunch to survive or whatever, you know? Right. But it was this episode of Chopped. I was watching it recently, and it was, like, the White House. Like, it was, like, you know, some guy from the White House was there, and mm-hmm. they had, like, lunch ladies on. Mm-hmm. And
it was the, like, bald guy. He was on, was it TOC last year? I forget.
No, he was not on TOC. Really? That's the same guy. Are you sure? He's bald, but I don't think this guy was on TOC. That's a different guy.
Maybe it wasn't TOC. It was something recent. Because remember, his kid has Kawasaki's disease.
I don't think that's the same person.
Oh, okay. I have face blindness, so.
Yeah. No, I see how they look similar, but they're not the same person. The guy whose kid is Kawasaki's disease, I like him. This guy was, like, very different. And so they had all these lunch ladies on, and they're, like, doing Chopped, right? And this guy, when he judges, he'd be like, well, this is a pretty big portion to give to a kid. And I'm like, I was so pissed. I'm like, they're not giving it to a kid. They're giving it to you.
Right. Also, I mean, look, you probably see it just as much as I do with, like, my almost 5-year-old. But, like, because I know Sheena's just starting to, like, really toddler it up. But, like, the, like, kids will eat next to nothing, and then they'll eat, like, a ton of shit. So to, like, bitch about portions, it's like, you don't even know if the kid's gonna eat any of that.
You know, and it also honestly was very sad because, like, in the intro packages, a lot of the lunch ladies were, like, talking about how, like, oh, a lot of these kids, like, they, like, don't have food at home, so mm-hmm. the only time they get to eat is when they come to school. And then the guys, like, give them smaller portions. And it's just, right. like, the disconnect there, you know? It was, like, really fuck me up, you know? And
I've definitely cried to that episode. Anyway.
I, like, whenever there's, like, an episode of Chop comes on that is, like, vaguely food shamey, Spencer's always like, should we switch it? he knows I'm going to be bitching the whole time, you know, that the judge are going to say something. Actually, that's stupid. But you know who is surprisingly good on those issues usually when they have that on there, which is shocking because I feel like he's not good on anything usually, is my namesake, Jeffrey Zakarian.
Your namesake.
I was named after him. Like, he's always like he'll say, like, he'll just say the least food shamey stuff of anybody. Like, he'll say, like, oh, yeah, like, everything in moderation. You know, something that's, like, not very, it's not just, like, kids shouldn't eat fat. He'll be like, oh, you know, it's good to have a little bit of everything or whatever, right, a you know?
Variety,
so,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I get so pissed when they try to bring, because I'm like, when you're watching Chopped, I'm just like, I do not need to hear about how this food is going to put me on a diet. You know, I'm watching Chopped. You're putting some weird shit together. Just talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so we should just, can we get down to business? Is that okay?
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Okay, so this is the recap of Tournament of Champions Season 5, Episode 2. And we should just talk up front, because this was a wild one.
Yes, it was so bizarre. I mean, you know, look, you know, the first couple of matches were great. They went in the direction that I hoped to. We can talk about my fucking hatred of Joe Sasto and how much I love seeing him go down. But really, like, the weirdest part of it was the sped up Amanda Freitag.
So yeah, so like what we were talking about last week is we were talking about how like they should address it, right? If they're gonna like make it weird, they should just address it. They should have like put a chyron on the screen that says like this is a modified battle because Darnell Ferguson is currently like, you know, in a legal situation, or you know, ask the lawyers what to say. Right. But to just do it like that, like we know what's going on, but like if you had no idea what was going on and you were watching it, it would be like, what the fuck happened? Yes. Past years, Darnell Ferguson is like so much like guys BFF, you know, like he's always been one of like the featured people. People love him. He was like one of the original, he got a show off of his nickname, you know, right, which I assume is canceled now. But yeah, so he did the Super Chef grudge match, and just like the way they do it, like we'll go through and talk about it, but the way they do it is so strange. And like, they also, it seemed like they didn't just like kind of edit him out. They also like gave him kind of like an idiot edit, right? They tried to make him look like a bumbling idiot kind of.
Yeah.
And it was just like they're, oh, it's okay to put him on as long as we make it look like we don't like him or something, you know?
Yeah.
So strange. And also I feel like it like shortchanged Amanda too. I thought at first that they weren't going to show it at all, like that's right, what I thought was going to happen. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really did think that, like, we, John and I were talking about it while we were watching the episode, like, what are they going to do, how are they going to address it? And they did it in the weird, like, we, yeah, it was like the weirdest way possible. Like, we, it was not a way that we even thought they were going to do it.
I was totally shocked. Okay, so let's go through the episode and we'll talk about the weird things as they come up, because they came up like earlier than this too. So the episode starts with Brooke coming in with her belt. Guy recaps the last episode, tells them who won, who moves on. And that's when you see Amanda Freitag there. And Guy mentions the other three battles. He's like, this is what's happening tonight. But they don't mention Amanda Freitag. They don't mention Darnell. So it's like, you can see her there. And also, like, we were like looking like eagle-eyed. And you see like one braid of Darnell in one shot. But otherwise, they cut him out completely in like the beginning, you know, when they're showing everybody there. I know. Like, we're like, can you see him? And then you're like, oh yeah, like there's like one piece of his hair.
Yeah.
So it starts off strange. And that's when you're like, what's going to happen? But the first battle is our girl Shirley Chung versus Joe Sasto. So
I literally leapt off my couch like Tom Cruise on Oprah's couch style. I was like freaking the fuck out, because they made it seem so, I mean, it was really close, but they made it seem so close. Also, we can go into it, but yeah, let's just go into it, and then I'll bring up my like most annoying part.
Yes, I'll go through. So I first noticed that Joe's mustache is like exactly the same. It's been exactly the same for so long. I feel like by now, get like a little bit of a new look. You know, that's what I was thinking right away.
Yeah. Do you think he has a mustache tattoo somewhere too?
I don't know, like one of like the finger ones.
Yeah, like he clearly doesn't have the finger one, you know, like we've seen his hand, but like, but yes, like exactly that, like he probably has it somewhere else.
I just feel like it's so strange. Not, I mean, maybe he does other things in the off season and just puts the mustache on for like when he's competing.
Yeah,
but like, it's very strange to have the same facial hair for so long, the same exact facial hair. I feel like our husbands both go back and forth between like mustache, whatever, right? It's like they don't keep, like, I guess it's like, I don't know. I don't like it. So for the nicknames, it's Mustache Joe versus the Dumpling Mafia Queen. And Joe says his mustache is extra crispy, which was like, why would you say that?
Like, on a cooking show.
Like, it? Does he think people like it? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, like whoever he dates, do they like it?
Or I'm curious. Is he married or anything?
I have no idea.
Let's see. Joe Sasso wife. Okay, no, all it's coming up is those AI celebrity sites where you I think Joe Sasso's wife is Joe Sasso married? No more about Joe Sasso. Chef Joe Sasso, wife, married, family, ethnicity, net worth. Those AI sites are so weird. And Shirley has like a stick in her hair. Mm-hmm. And Guy says she has a Kill Bill going on, which at first I was like, is that a little racist? But then I was like, she looks hot. So
yeah. I always assume that everything's racist, but that's just,
yeah. I mean, she didn't seem to mind, but who knows? Yeah. And so in the rant, and I just love Shirley. I know you love Shirley too. I feel like she's super so likable. Awesome. Yeah. I want to eat her food very badly.
Yeah.
So in the randomizer, they have turkey breast, endive, toaster, folded, and canned mushroom. Mm-hmm. And like Shirley is like, yes, like if you tell me folded, I have to do dumplings. And obviously, right, dumplings. But then, of course, Joe is also doing a wonton. Like, do you remember he did that last year too? Like he kept like doing like the kind of food that someone makes against them. And it's like, you know what else is folded? A freaking ravioli. Like, right, just make a ravioli.
And like Joe sat, but this is exactly it. Like, and this is what drives me crazy, because Guy will be like, Joe Sasso, the nicest guy. And it's like, no nice person would make that move in a cooking competition. Yeah. You know, like that's just not a nice thing. That's just trying to be a dick.
Yeah, I just don't know like why he does that. But yeah, he puts mortadella in his wonton. So that's like his like Italian spin on it.
Yeah.
And he calls mortadella the king of meats. What do you think about that?
It's very weird. I love a pistachio, don't get me wrong. But mortadella, like, even I know it's like, you know, wrong to say it's glorified bologna, but like, you know, I feel like there's like, I also love a salami. So like for me, mortadella is just like not as flavorful in my opinion.
I mean, I don't love the texture. It's like, it's like neither crispy nor soft. It's like a weird in between. And I find it a little weird. I bet it would taste good, like crisped up, but I'm not a huge mortadella fan. But I know people love, on cooking shows, they use it all the time.
Yeah.
So Shirley is putting green onions in the toaster to char them. And I love there's a danger, do not do this at home warning. Yeah. And it's funny because they definitely do lots of dangerous shit with this stuff that they give them on the show. Because like Shirley would not be doing that in a toaster if she was at home. She would just like do it for real.
Right. Exactly.
But when Joe toasts his chilies in the toaster, they do not give the same warning. So I guess it's fine to toast chilies in the toaster. Shirley makes chili crisp from scratch. Are you a chili crisp freak?
Okay. I'm not like one of those people that will like, I love a chili crisp. I love a condiment. That's just my thing. Like, it doesn't have to be chili crisp. What I like about chili crisp, it's like very umami, it's very spicy, you know, it has that like unctuous mouthfeel. So I do love that. Yes. And I have multiple kinds of chili crisp in my pantry, but
really,
I do. It's not something that I am like, oh, it's got to get chili crisp. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, like the bacon of it all, you know?
Yes, totally. I don't like spicy things.
Yeah.
So I don't do chili crisp. The only, Spencer got mad at me because we went shopping on Sunday, as we do. And we came home and he was like, do you know that we already have 6 containers of Parmesan cheese in the fridge? And like that's like the one thing at the grocery store I'm always like, well, we might be out, and I just get more, you know. Yeah. And then it's just that's my number, that's my chili crisp, is just different parms.
Yeah. But that's awesome. I love that.
I know. It is awesome. I mean, I need it, so it's like I can't run. So Joe fries the canned mushrooms in the air fryer with the turkey skin, and they both garnish with crispy turkey skin. Shirley's looks great. Mm-hmm. And this is when I noticed that Joe's hat says tortellini. And it's like, you know what's folded? Tortellini.
Tortellini! And like a more fancy fold than just a fucking, like, wontons obviously are fancy too, but like, you know, you fucking asshole.
He did like a good job, but like Shirley is literally famous for making dumplings, and it's just like such like a cocky move to go up against her with the dumplings, in my opinion. Okay, so the judges this week are Donatella Arpaia, Andrew Zimmern, Ming Tsai, who I know is your favorite. Your OG, right?
I was thinking earlier today, I'm like, his voice is so good. Like, it's just so, like, deep and throaty and... Anyway.
And he must be, at this point, like, a little bit old, but he just... I feel like he is, like, one of those people that just, like, looks amazing for, like, forever.
Yeah.
I can't easily find his age right now. So, but it's probably, I mean, he's been on TV. He's only 59. That's actually like not as old as I thought.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's acceptable to think he's hot.
Thank you. He's only 19 years older than me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you dated, it wouldn't even be that weird.
No.
So Simon reads for Shirley, and Donatella coughs at the spice. And at first, everyone's like, oh no. But then she's like, oh no, I love it. I love spice. So it's like, not a problem.
Yeah.
And Andrew Zimmern says it's one of the best things he's eaten in a competition in 10 years. So like, I feel like Andrew Zimmern probably eats like so many dumplings in his life. So like that's like really good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then Justin Warner reads for Joe. He says that Ming Tsai has... that's not what Justin Warner says. Justin Warner does not talk about Ming Tsai. Ming Tsai says that Joe's plate has the most beautiful endive. And I was thinking, I don't know if I've ever had endive cooked. I feel like I've only eaten it raw.
Same. I'd be interested.
I was intrigued. Like, when I was a kid growing up, my grandparents, whenever they would like have like the family over to like entertain in their backyard, they would always do like put an endive out with like a little bit of blue cheese in there, and that was like the snack.
Yeah,
right? It was like an endive boat with blue cheese. So like, that's like the way I think.
Same.
I feel like that's a very older generation like go to party snack.
Yes, for sure.
You don't see that at the millennial parties. So the score is 86-89, which guys has the highest scores this round of TOC so far, and Shirley wins. And like, I'm so happy that Shirley like finally made dumplings on TOC. She's been on for years and she finally made dumplings, and it was the highest score on TOC so far.
Yeah.
Like, Shirley's the best, you know?
Yeah. So well deserved.
And did you see that she sells her dumplings on Goldbelly? They said we should order some and eat them for the pod. We should do a podcast taste test.
I would love that.
By the way, sorry to change the subject, but so as you all know, Debbie and I are going to Paducah, Kentucky soon to eat at the Freight House. And I emailed Sarah being like, we're going to be there. It would be great to meet you. And she was like, I'm so excited to meet you. So I think we're going to really actually meet Sarah. And I'm so excited.
Our best friend. Charlie.
I know. I mean, okay.
Sorry. Charlie just came in here and asked for a after dinner mint. Can you go to daddy?
I bet Charlie would love Shirley.
I think so, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so this is when Guy says that both Joe and Shirley are some of... And that's a thing I hear Guy say a lot on the show. Warren's one of the nicest people in the world. And I feel like maybe people are nicer to Guy, you know, because...
Of course. He runs the Food Network, basically. Like... Of course, Joe Sasto is going to be nicer. Also, I want to say there was at one point Joe Sasto was just like, he mentioned something about like, you know, I know Shirley's like the dumpling queen, but I'm Italian, as if Italians didn't learn about pasta from the Chinese, or not I even know. Learn, but steal from the Chinese, you know?
Yes. Yeah, fucking whatever, asshole. Or Marco Polo. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a very funny moment that, so like after like he's gone, Shirley tells Guy that she wants to bet. Like Guy says, do you want to battle Brooke or Kevin? Brooke Williamson or Kevin Lee? And Shirley is like, oh, I really want to battle Brooke. And in the Wayfair Lounge, like under his breath, Kevin Lee is like, she's scared of me. I just felt like he was like so sweet, you know, like, yeah. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I really like Kevin Lee. Like,
I do too.
Bummed about what happened, but I love him. I feel like that he was like, if someone had to do it, I'm glad it was him.
Yeah. Same.
So next round is Kelsey Bernard Clark, KBC,
fucking Sarah's roll BFF, tide.
Versus Tobias Dorzen. And I noticed that Kelsey is a mom. We should have her on the pod. We should definitely reach out to her. See if she's on the pod.
For sure.
And of course, we'd just be like, Sarah did it. So you have to now.
Yeah.
And the names are KBC versus The Hunt Show.
Yeah.
Who are you rooting for before we go into it in this round?
So, you know, it's hard. I mean, I always root for Kelsey. I love her, but I like Tobias too. I think he's really fun. So it's hard for me to, but I always just automatically go to Kelsey because I, you know, Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I rooted for Kelsey because A, she's likable. B, I want more women in the mix.
Yeah.
But like Tobias is like such like a TOC personality.
Yeah.
And I love what he does also because like his whole vibe, right, is like, I feel like when he cooks, you're always like, there's no way that's going to win. And then everyone's like, this tastes so good. So, you know, he's just like, you know, like, he's not like a fancy chef. He's just like the best. Like he just like to do that well on TOC with something that like, doesn't look nice. Like it just must taste so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love about him.
He also said that he is a graduate of Flavortown University. And I'm wondering if you were to major in anything at Flavortown University, what would be your major?
Obviously broadcasting. Like I'm in it to be like Justin Warner is my advisor, you know, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I love cooking, but I don't aspire to be a chef at all. You know, like, I like to cook at home. To me, the idea of like working in a restaurant all night is like hell. But I would love to be on TV, as you know. What about you? What would you major in at a Flavortown University?
I mean, so for a long time, I used to want to go to cooking school when I was, I went to film school and then I was like, well, I'll just go to cooking school right after as backup, you know, but then I got a job actually in the entertainment industry. So I was just like, whatever. And I'm glad I did because I can't do late nights anymore. But, you know, then at the beginning of the pandemic, I was thinking about opening a bagel place. Like I was like, oh, because we didn't have a bagel place in our neighborhood, which I thought was crazy. So it was before Liberty Bagels moved in. So I was like, yeah, I'll just, you know, so I feel like that would be my Flavortown. So I would do like bagels, but I think I would minor in broadcasting.
But you would also, I feel like, instead of just like doing bagels, you would do like Guy's guide to like running a small business or something.
So yeah,
I
feel like he's like
great with that, right? So you would like learn the bagels. I feel like he knows how to like make a restaurant successful. So I feel like that's what so you do all that together.
Yeah.
Okay. So for KBC and Tobias, for the randomizer, we have Grand Lamb. Mm-hmm. I love it. Patty Pan Squash, which like I've only ever seen on cooking shows.
It's one of John's favorite. And he was so excited.
I do feel like it's like a Southern thing, right? Like you see that at like barbecue menus or something sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Food processor, which like, come on, like everyone uses that anyway. Nutty and strawberry jam. And when they say strawberry jam, the crowd gasps. It's like, of all the weird ingredients, that's not that bad to do strawberry jam, you know?
But it is weird because my first thought with the nutty, I was like, is someone going to make like a lamb peanut butter and jelly? Like, what are they going to do?
Are you watching live on TV?
No.
Okay, so there is this commercial that's on during TOC that is like, because I don't watch any TV live. I'm doing it for this podcast, and I'm seeing commercials. And there's this commercial for Little Caesars. It's like a half pizza, half breadsticks pie, and the guy's like, oh, it's the best combination of all time. And then he turns around and there's like an anthropomorphic peanut butter and jelly sandwich there, being like offended that he likes a different combo better. So that's when you talk about TOC and PB, it's actually like one of those commercials that you feel like could be like a Tim and Eric sketch. It's like pretty funny. I hate to like capitalism, but they do a good job.
So Little Caesars, okay, fun fact about Little Caesars. The owner of Little Caesars, and why I always respect them, paid for Rosa Parks' rent for her entire post
everything. I had no idea.
Yeah, he was like committed to, you know, I mean, it's Little Caesars is a Detroit start. So it's like he reinvested in the community, which I thought was pretty cool. Also, that's really funny that you said Tim and Eric, because have you watched Detroiters yet?
No, I need to. I haven't watched it. I know that's my Tim Robinson blind spot.
There's a whole Little Caesars episode.
Okay, so I'll have to watch it. Thank you for letting me know. I'm putting it in the show notes so I remember. Okay. Kelsey says she's going to be best friends with the randomizer, even though she doesn't agree with everything she does. And, you know, Kelsey's very charming. Mm-hmm. She's pretty cute. She drops a bottle of something and Justin tastes it. And I was like, oh my God, don't taste that. You're going to get broken glass in your mouth. Yeah. But one very funny thing that Spencer was saying this whole episode is, because on our podcast, remember, Justin was like, there's going to be things happening that you never expect. And whenever like anything happens, Spencer's like, you think that's what he was talking about? Like, when Kelsey dropped the bottle, Spencer's like, is that what he's like? Is that what? The whole time he was saying things like that to me. So Kelsey is making boudin balls. And Tobias Dorzin is making Asian garlic noodles, which I mean, who doesn't love Asian garlic noodles? It's just a crap dessert. And also, when I think about lamb, I do think of like, you know, like there's lots of like Asian noodle dishes with lamb that are like, so good.
And they all have a sweetness, and a nut. So,
yes, it makes sense. It was a smart use of the randomizer. Yeah. And, Tobias adds allspice to the lamb and Justin says, let's go. Like, I just thought that was very cool. And Kelsey makes a patty pan nutty hummus and she pickles strawberries. I felt like what she was doing was very cool. But, you know, I guess it didn't turn out as good as she hoped. And for the judging, Simon reads for Kelsey. He says, Ming Tsai says that he didn't want to like it because of the strawberries, but he did. But Andrew Zimmern thought the boudin was not very seasoned. And then Justin reads for Tobias and Ming Tsai asked for a to-go box, which I feel like Ming Tsai Asian food, that's a good sign.
Right.
But nobody likes the presentation because it looks like pretty messy looking. I was like watching him and I feel like he didn't even wipe the plate. You know,
no.
It was just like very like.
John even said he was like, it looks wet. I was like, that's.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, everyone loved it. Like, didn't Andrew Zimmern say something like, like we all care about how things look, but doesn't it really matter how it tastes? You know, like, so 83-79, Tobias wins. That's like a big, like 4 points is a lot on TOC, I think. And Guy is so proud of him, which is very cute because like, I feel like that like Tobias has like less pedigree than a lot of the chefs there. And whenever he does a good job, Guy is like, that's my guy.
Also, it is like such a crazy, I don't know, like with football players, you know, you just assume that they like have CTE so bad that they don't do anything after or whatever.
Or even like that they don't try that hard and they just ride on their celebrity or whatever. You know, like that's what I think. More than like thinking that like they can't do it. I'm just like, oh, like they just put their name on this restaurant. They don't care, you know?
Right.
And honestly, I feel bad, but like, because he's a football player, I like still, like, I've been watching TOC for 5 years and he always does well. And I like still judge him. I'm still like, oh, well, Kelsey is a better chef, you know?
Right, but like, right. Yeah.
He wins. Like, he consistently wins. So, okay, now is our very strange battle. They go right into Amanda Freitag versus Darnell Ferguson. There's no intro. There's none of that, like, boo, doo, 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 that they usually do with, like, the, with everyone walking out to music. They don't get any nicknames. They don't say anything. They don't intro them at all. It's like, obviously, they're just trying to get it done as quickly as possible. Also, the whole time, they, like, barely have Darnell say two words. Like, the whole, all the inter, like 90% of the interviews are Amanda Freitag. And don't get me wrong, I love Amanda Freitag. And I understand why they're like, but they did such a weird job. Like, if you had no idea what was going on, you'd be like, what the fuck?
They really should have just said, like, they could have just written anything on screen and just been like, oh, we had to edit this down due to whatever, you know, like,
I'm like, you know, one of those little things they always have on, like, they have this on The Bachelor all the time when, like, someone tells, like, a domestic violence story, they say, like, if you are the victim of domestic violence, call this number, you know, whatever, you know, like, one of those things. But I guess maybe they don't want to even say that because, like, it's probably, they probably, like, I mean, I was talking to Carrie, one of our fans, who DMs me sometimes about the pod, and she was saying that it probably had nothing to do with whatever guy wanted to do. It was probably just, like, lawyers being like, cut that, cut that, cut that. But they still had to make, like maybe they can't say anything about it because it's, like, alleged or whatever, but they still could have, like, it just, the way they did it was very strange. But anyway, the randomizer is chicken drumsticks, Roma tomatoes, muffin pan, blanched, and instant coffee. I know people cook with coffee, but that's one of those things that, like, scares me so much. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, like, and not to eat, but like, the idea of me trying to figure out how to, like, not make something with coffee in it not too bitter is, like, whenever people cook with that, I'm like, that's so hard. But, like, I know it's, like, it's in things, you know? Like, you know, it's not a super rare thing to put in things. And Amanda is making a chicken patty with a coffee tomato barbecue sauce. And Darnell is making coffee chicken Osco Buco. And Amanda is doing the tomatoes con casse, which is one of those things that they learned on Worst Cooks this season.
Ah, yes, it's true. And it's one of those things also that it sounds fancier than it actually is.
It's like, oh, you put them in the water. Exactly. And Amanda is making a Yorkshire pudding. And she's like, to Simon, like, oh, you should be familiar with it. I love Yorkshire pudding. Have we talked about Yorkshire pudding? I think we did before.
I fucking love it. I don't know if we did, but I love it.
Yeah,
I
we talked about it on Top Chef.
Right.
We talked about it on Top Chef when we were ragging on the queen. Remember, there was a period of our podcast where all we did was rag on the queen. And okay, so I love it though. I've made it once and it's good. I would like to make it again, and that's smart. You know, it's like people like it. It's easy to make in a mug pan. And also, Edit keeps trying to make Darnell look bad. Like, they're giving him such a loser at. They're always like, he's not doing it. Oh, he didn't do this. Oh, Amanda's doing so much. Like, it's just so weird. They're just like, they can do it fast, but they're like also like trying to make him look like such an idiot or whatever. And like, I'm not trying to like support him, but the way they did the edit is just very strange.
Yeah, it was very weird.
So for the judging, Justin's for Danielle. Ming Tsai says that it's good, but there's too many tomatoes. And then Simon for Amanda, Ming says, this chef can cook. But everyone kind of agrees that, like, the randomizer wasn't that great. And, like, so, like, Darnell said too many tomatoes. Amanda didn't have enough. And the scores are 79 to 77, pretty low. And Darnell, and I mean, sorry, Amanda wins. But when Darnell leaves, they don't, Guy doesn't give any of his little speeches or whatever where he's like, this guy, you know, like they usually do. Instead, they just show him leaving. And when he's leaving, did you hear this? They show him like screaming, like,
oh, oh. They're trying to make that.
They're trying to make him look like a monster. It was very weird. And yeah, so Amanda wins. And it's like, I feel bad for her also because, like, I hope she does well. I think she's great. I enjoy watching her. But like, it's like it didn't like show if she goes far, it like doesn't like give like her journey a good right. start, you know, to right. have this weird battle like that. I just feel like they should have done the whole thing, like shown the whole thing as usual, but like had Darnell's face like kind of like blurred out and like that you know, like the true crime voice put over yeah. him. I'm doing the Oscar Bugo. Okay, let's finish up. We'll do it. We have one more battle, and this was the big one. Mm-hmm. Brooke Williamson, who we all love, the mm-hmm. original champ, my obsession, versus Kevin Lee, the newcomer. Mm-hmm. So Kevin Lee, again, does just like Chef Michael Reed, does not get a nickname, but Brooke Williamson is B-Dub.
Yeah,
and of course. Chef Kevin Lee keeps saying that he was not even supposed to be in the qualifier. He was a backup for the qualifier. And then the Friday before, they were like, shit, someone dropped out. Can you get here? And then he got through the qualifier. So, like, for him, it's, like, big, you know?
Yeah.
He's, like, the Brit of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for the randomizer, it's pork loin, cauliflower, ricer, tart, and steel-cut oats. Which, like, nothing too crazy. I feel like a pork loin, cauliflower. I think it sounds really good.
The tart exactly. and steel-cut oats is an interesting...
Yeah. And, you know, I think they did a good job with that. But, like, mm-hmm. Like Guy said, like, cauliflower and ricer, it, like, goes together perfectly. It's, like, mm-hmm. a normal thing to use with cauliflower. So Brooke is making a dry rub pork loin with hibiscus pickled cauliflower, which is a very cool idea. Yeah. And Kevin is making fried pork katsu, which also sounds great.
Yeah.
And Kevin is using pomegranate, which is like one of my favorite foods of all time, but Shirley thinks that pomegranate's not tart enough. She thinks that Brooke's going to be more tart. Mm-hmm. And this was so cool when Brooke makes her own oat milk. That was very smart. That was a cool thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
And all very trendy right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves oat milk.
Mm-hmm.
I tried for the first time this weekend pistachio milk. Mm-hmm. That was really good.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't tried it.
It was real. I thought. Yeah, it was like, I feel like I wouldn't want to have it often. It's like very rich, but it definitely was like, ooh, you know, like it was good.
Ooh.
So Kevin said he's been an alternate for 2 years and he's very sweaty. During the judging, Simon reads for Brooke. Ming says it's very well conceived. But Donna tells us that the cauliflower does not have much flavor. And Justin reads for Kevin. And Ming sides it as well executed, and Meg and Andrew don't like the splatter art. So, like, it's like he kind of splattered the cauliflower on. But in the end, Kevin Lee wins 87-88. And, like, 88's high. That's only 1 point lower than Shirley.
Yeah. It's so wild. And I remember, like, when they had the previews for this episode and they were like, 1 point. And I was just like, whoa.
I know. And, like, I feel sad about Brooke, who I love her. I love seeing her go. But also, like, it was like, if, like, Joe Sasso beat Brooke, I would have been so pissed. I would have burned the place down.
Oh, my God. I will flip my couch.
Exactly. Something like that happened. But Kevin Lee was, like, so likable. He's from Omaha. Or, no, not Omaha. He's from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And he just was, like, he's, like, not a big city guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's just, like, and, like, he just, like, really, like, well, Guy gives this speech about how Kevin is proving you can be anything you want to be if you set your sights on it. And I was, you know, I get a little pissed off about that. I hate the bootstrap language. You know, yes. I'm glad that he's proud of Kevin and Kevin did a good job. But, like, it's not like everyone else didn't want it as bad as Kevin. You know, I hate that. It's like, you can do whatever you want if you set your mind to it. Well, what about Brooke? You think she just didn't give a fuck? You know?
Right.
But anyway. And it's very, you know, it's like, what about all the other people in Oklahoma that didn't get the call to come on TOC.
Right.
It's not like, yeah. So we do not subscribe to bootstraps language here.
No.
You know,
but I mean, you know, Guy, you know, it's not a surprise that Guy is using that kind of language.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. And also, like, he does mean well by it. Like, he does help young chefs make their careers happen. So I'm not trying to talk shit on Guy. I just, like, I was listening to our last episode, and I say all the time, I'm not trying to talk shit, but, and, on a podcast, you're, like, allowed to talk shit. I shouldn't apologize all the time. You know, like, I don't think we're mean. It's just, like, I just want everyone to know that I love them, but here's my criticism.
Even you, Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. And Kevin thinks that it's time to leave. Like, he, like, after Guy, like, congratulates him, he, like, runs off the stage, and Guy's like, no, come back. And it's really cute.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for him. He's going to be against Shirley, though, so I guess I won't root against him against Shirley, probably.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't, actually, I don't know if I could root for anybody on the, in that match, you know? I'll just be happy with whoever wins.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I have to remind myself, I'm just happy it's not a white man, you know? Yep. I don't want any feel-good stories about, like, a white guy from New York City. yeah. No offense, white guys from New York City. Some of you are my best friends.
you are married to one.
Exactly. Well, he's not from New York City, but yeah, well, I know. He lives here now. But yeah, so the highest, well, I mean, your mom to a white guy from New York City. That's
yeah.
About you. So the highest score was Shirley, and she donated to the Tin Roof in Maui, which needs it post the fire, which was great. And also, like, it seemed like she put a little more thought into it than Mark Murphy did last week, where he's like, yeah, I like this restaurant. I don't know. Shirley had, like, a little bit of a message to share, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which was very nice. So that's the episode, and next week we're gonna get more. I love it. I'm glad we got the Darnell out of the way.
Yes. Part. Yeah. It's kind of amazing that it ended up that way. And it's the Food Network is very lucky.
Yes. Yes. It would have been. Imagine if we were just have to watch this for like. For a long time, you know, we right. have to like keep going. That would have been very stressful to see the same kind of thing over and over again. But yeah, I love TSC. I'm excited to see more. I don't want to be kind of like a bummer, but I'm extremely tired as usual, and also you know, a little sick, so let's just talk about edit that out. I feel bad that I said that, just cut that out. But Debbie, what did you have for dinner tonight?
So I haven't had dinner tonight yet. I was eating some Haribo. Well, John and I had a very ambitious menu for tonight, and it just didn't end up getting done by the time. So we made a buttermilk chicken with duck fat potatoes.
Ooh, smashed potatoes. Yum.
Yeah. And roasted broccoli and roasted carrots.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm so excited. It smells so good. I can't wait to put my face into it.
I'm sorry to keep you from it for this long.
Oh, no. It's totally fine. Worth it, obviously, to gab about TOC with one of my favorite people. So
I am feeling sick, as I said. So I barely ate anything for dinner. I literally had cucumber slices just because I'm just like, I have no appetite. But last night, Spencer made his famous potato leek soup. Spencer is a great soup chef. He loves to make soup. And like once a year when it's potato and leek season, you know, you guess the time of year where like the only vegetable at the farmer's market are potatoes and leeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not true right now. There's a lot of stuff there. But like potatoes and leeks are there all winter. So
yeah.
This time of year, he always makes potato leek soup. And he made it last night. It was really good. We had it with some sourdough. And I also made a salad. I didn't make the sourdough. We got it from the farmer's market. And I made a salad, which was really good. Like, I go through these periods where I make, like, a salad every night with dinner. And I, you know, I make the dressing. And I, like, get really into it. And I love it. And then I get burnt out. And I'm like, I'm not going to make salads anymore. And then Spencer last night asked me, like, can you make a salad? So I did. And then I was like, why don't I make salads anymore? So now I'm going to be back on my salad bullshit. For like a month, and then I'm gonna be, I'm so sick of salads. So,
yeah.
I'm in the phase where I love the salad I make again.
I
so
love that.
That's my I mean it's really good.
Yeah. Salads are great. I had a really good salad this afternoon. We got sushi for lunch to treat ourselves. And,
yum.
You know, I love a good orange, carrot, ginger.
Ah, the best
dressing. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I get the sushi salad, I just like usually take the pieces of lettuce and cucumber and carrot, whatever, and I just like dip them in individual. I use it like the lettuce is like a chip and the dressing is dip. And I
yes. eat that yes. So good.
It's delicious. Okay. Well, Debbie, it was great talking to you as always.
You too. Feel better. Get some rest. Please.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. After this, I'm going to have a little small bowl of plain pasta, my favorite sick food. And then I'm going to go to the bath and go right to bed.
Nice.
Nothing like a bath, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that's not TMI to all you listening, but I love the bath. But yeah, so everyone, we're really excited about our TOC recaps. And I would love it if you watch TOC and you know someone else who watches TOC, please share this with a friend. Mm-hmm. I feel like that more people need to listen to these TOC recaps because I feel like that we are having a vital community service by doing them.
Yes.
And we, as we said last week, we're the premier TOC podcast, and I will not take that back.
I actually am, I might be going into the TOC, the Food Network Reddit TOC thread and might just drop us in there, right?
You got to drop it. Yeah, all you got to drop it. There's no reason not to. I mean, even if we just get like, you know, like five people to listen or whatever, then maybe they will be listeners for life.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so also do the other things, rate, review, share,
send us,
you know, subscribe.
Fan mail. Hate mail.
Yes. Send us fan mail. Yes. Hate mail if you want. Share our Instagram. Our Instagram is Moms of Flavortown. We have great memes. We are a meme account. And also we have the podcast info up there. So as far as everything else, I feel like now it might be time, right?
Yeah. So let's,
let's pack our knives
and go.
And go.
Good night.